The following is a special program dealing with the issue of non-retained professors at Cal Poly.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go?
Dr. Fred Rizzo at the English Department.
Dean Cummins, the reports that I have received regarding Dr. Rizzo have been somewhat disturbing, particularly with regard to some of him, and dig this language, to some of his professional activities which seem to be inappropriate or incompatible with his total college responsibilities. What does that mean?
Dr. Ralph Rana of the Physics Department.
The members had recommended me unanimously for tenure. Soon after, however, the dean of our school did not approve the recommendation in my case, saying that the evaluation for my department and his own evaluation was too low. I had received an X in the space between boxes 2 and 3, and to receive tenure, the X should have been placed squarely in box 2.
Dr. Robert Kennedy, president of
Somebody
Cal Poly.
Somebody thinks that I put the finger on Rizzo or Brana or any of these guys and said, you know, I don't want them around. That's just not a fact.
Dr. Vrana.
I have tried to explain why I believe that the PhD is not the issue in my case. I do have coursework on the graduate level equivalent to that required for several doctorates, but it is in many areas. It is, of course, short-sighted to consider only the matter of a degree as a method of selecting instructors. If other evidence of capability is lacking, then the PhD becomes a logical screening device. And I am aware that it is now being used here to screen applicants. But I have been here 4 years. I have published in my field steadily. I do pertinent research. I lend a hand where it is needed in the community. And I have a modest rapport with students. I wonder why all this counts less than the placement of an X on an evaluation form.
Dr. Rizzo.
Memo from James Landreth in the administration building. Subject, American Legion Post number 66, March 1970, newsletter. In case you haven't seen it, sent to President Robert E. Kennedy. In case you haven't seen it, I'm attaching a copy of the American Legion Post number 66, March 1970 newsletter, which I understand is sent monthly to all local American Legion members, okay? On this memo sheet, Kennedy wrote copies XCC / Cummins, that's Dean Cummins, and below that he wrote, for your information, and he initialed it, R-E-K.
Raymond DeGrudi of Students for New Action Politics.
An American Legion newsletter is a relevant form of criticism in the evaluation of instructors for tenure or promotion, and that it should be included in his personnel file.
Dr. Robert Kennedy.
I think that you would have to remember that what happens when people send items to me about a particular faculty member, they are frequently letters of congratulations, saying that they, in fact, want a faculty member, a faculty member has done something particularly good in connection with community service. And I take a simple action when it comes to my desk. I have a little black pen, and most of the people on the staff are quite well aware of what it looks like because it gets Xeroxed. And I just write XCC, means Xerox copy, and I put a slash mark, and I put the dean's name there, and because the dean reports to me. I put the dean who is responsible in that area where that faculty member works, and I put, for your information, and I used my initials, R-E-K. Now, in the case of the American Legion newsletter, that's a question here, I did it exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. I did not ask that it be put in his file. I didn't ask anything. I didn't make any comment on it. I did the same thing that I do on laudatory statements.
Dr. Rizzo.
Any college president who allows a right-wing organization like the American Legion and a right-wing document like this American Legion newsletter criticizing my authoring and circulating an anti-war petition on campus. Any college president who does that doesn't deserve to be anywhere in the education process, whether it be teaching kindergarten, teaching high school, or teaching high school, much less being a college president.
You have heard the dialogue on the current issue on campus. Everybody concerned has something to say about what he believes are the facts. We will explore the facts, but we will also ask, where is all of this discussion leading Cal Poly?
The official reason given for my non-retention,
Dr. Rizzo,
is that I refused to teach a freshman class this last winter, this winter quarter, and therefore was guilty of insubordination in the department. I have, however, since discovered a number of other elements, such as political materials in my file, which lead me to believe that other considerations at least existed behind the decision not to reappoint me.
Dr. John Erickson, Dean of the School of Communicative Arts and Humanities.
The first is that the tenured faculty in the department did not know about that newsletter, and therefore it couldn't have been a part of their deliberations. As far as such newsletters appearing in the future, Dr. Kennedy was asked if he feels it's appropriate to put them in the file. Well, whether he answers yes or no is irrelevant to what's really going to happen, because I'm going to put them in the file. And I'll make the decision whether they're going to be filed. The reason for that is Dr. Kennedy has given me that responsibility. Now, I'm not sure if I said if I put it in or not, if it happened tomorrow. But if it happens tomorrow, the answer is yes.
Dr. Kennedy.
Set up in the institution by the Academic Senate a very complete grievance procedure, and he can file a grievance. And Mr. Rizzo did file a grievance, and I've explained it to you, and he's had that opportunity. And now he has a further opportunity, and he has alleged in some correspondence that I was shown by the editor of the Mustang that he has consulted with some attorneys locally, and that they are considering the fact that they have a lawsuit possibility.
Dr. Rizzo.
Within about a two-week period, I had been asked to teach four different classes the coming quarter. I hadn't been consulted previously, and Chairman Willard Peterson told me in front of Dean Erickson that he consults faculty before he asks them to teach four different classes. I had not been consulted, but I wasn't even angry. At least I didn't directly express any anger about those four different preparations. I did, however, express my unwillingness to teach a third freshman class. I had taught two already the previous quarter, and according to a letter of acceptance that the college received without challenge over a year and a half ago, I'd only have to teach one or two freshman classes a year. I was assigned a freshman class. I objected to this. The chairman got angry at my objection. I got angry at his anger. During that same period also, during a faculty meeting, right at the end of the faculty meeting, my chairman, just as he was leaving the meeting, assigned me the task of circulating a prisoner of war petition, a petition to the North Vietnamese complaining about their treatment of Allied prisoners and asking them to treat them more humanely. Well, this petition, by the way, was endorsed by Robert Kennedy in a note sent around to different department heads. It was sent to the college by Lieutenant Governor Reinecke. Well, the petition, for anyone who is even the slightest bit aware of the prisoner of war situation, is extremely hypocritical. We are by far the greatest defenders of prisoners of war in Vietnam. Well, I did circulate the petition. I just passed it around, passed it on to the next person, passed it on to the next, and finally the English department faculty had a chance to sign it. But I also responded by writing an article for the Mustang Daily saying that the petition was hypocritical, knowing at the same time that a number of tenured faculty and my chairman had signed the petition. This, I'm sure, did not endear me to them. I think another element that came into play there was a personal antagonism between myself and my chairman. The antagonism arose because of my insistence that we follow the terms stated on my letter of acceptance when I took a position here at Poly almost 2 years ago now. He refused to acknowledge the validity of that letter of acceptance, even though it wasn't challenged at the time. This angered me a great deal, and again, we had some mutual anger expressed by both of us during that time. I frankly think there are other elements involved, such as a chairman's not wanting to relinquish power, or say, being too proud to be countered by one of his faculty members and not wishing to bend. I think that that's part of the problem as well. Now, what I didn't realize is that there had been political considerations made in my case earlier. Last year, President Kennedy was sent an American Legion newsletter by a man in the administration building named James Landreth. Kennedy initialed this newsletter and sent it on to Dean Cummins, put a little note on it saying, "For your info, for your information." And this was put in my file. When I was refused promotion last year, Cummins based his refusal, at least part of his letter said this, that he had heard disturbing reports about me. He never did specify what precisely these disturbing reports were. However, there was the American Legion newsletter in the file. I'd already been told by my chairman at least twice that he had received phone calls from citizens or from faculty members who objected to some of my anti-war activities and my draft counseling activities as well. So a political atmosphere did exist. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if in my mind a number of the tenured faculty were happy that I had taken a slipped, in their opinion, in any case, and not done my job from an academic point of view, that is, not taken the freshman class. But I think that the atmosphere was charged, and most of the people did vote against me. They, for some reason or another, refused to acknowledge the validity of my letter of acceptance. They never did answer certain questions I asked them, such as, why wasn't this letter challenged immediately? And only one person stood up for me in the in that faculty meeting. I think some of them were glad that they got me on something that was non-political. However, in response to that, as I said earlier, I have since that time agreed to teach whatever courses are assigned. But nonetheless, neither President Kennedy nor Dean Erickson nor Willard Peterson has let me know that my case is being seriously reconsidered.
Dr. Kennedy.
This is kind of an after-the-fact situation. In other words, after a decision has been made, then the individual who was uncooperative before says, now that it's important, I'll cooperate. Well, that's my interpretation of it. You can take it or leave it.
Fred Rizzo stated yesterday morning at the College Union Arena that he is now willing to teach anything he is told to teach. Both Dr. Kennedy and Dr. Erickson have said that it is a bit late for Rizzo to agree to English department terms, saying he is being cooperative after the fact. Rizzo contends his non-retention is politically based. The college administration has presented its evidence. You have heard comments from both Rizzo and the administration. Whether you, in your mind, consider Rizzo's case political or not is your opinion. The fact remains that much has been said and much will continue to be said about the non-retention of Fred Rizzo. The major problem is not so much why Rizzo is non-retained, but what is being done about it.
There's a built-in defense, if you like, against dissenters at the school. And I don't think that there are a sufficient number of faculty here at Cal Poly to change the situation. I think there are a few faculty who are genuinely trying. But I think the only way in which the situation is going to be changed, and drastic changes, radical changes are needed, the only way that such drastic, radical changes are going to come about is if the students begin taking some of the power that never should have been taken away from them in the first place.
Dr. Rizzo has quoted his chairman of the evaluation committee as having said this.
What he said in his letter recommending that I be promoted is this. He is a man with strong opinions about the government, the state, and the community. He is definitely a man of ideas. He speaks out on issues he has studied, but is silent on things he is not too well informed about. He may develop in time into a controversial figure on campus, but what campus cannot use controversial people if their aggressions are, quote, kept in line, unquote? I guess I haven't kept in line. Nor do I intend ever to keep in line.
As long as the administration stresses now that in the future people should have PhDs, they'll have plenty of PhDs. As everyone knows who's been reading the job market, there's a great many PhDs just floating around looking for positions, and you'll be able to get them easy enough. I don't think that it is ethical to betray original agreements made with faculty.
Ralph Frenna of the Physics Department.
The students are, I believe, interested in this and other issues because, first of all, they are concerned with subject matter, and they feel that a number of the instructors who are not been reappointed have much to offer in that area. And they feel also that perhaps a certain amount of politics has played a part in these decisions.
Ralph Vrenna has been given the opportunity to obtain tenure at Cal Poly if he agrees to work for his doctorate. Fred Rizzo will not be retained. He continues to state that his non-retention was political. This program was conceived as a presentation of information distributed by both interests in the non-retention problem. In the final analysis, certainly an open mind on our part is a step toward solving that problem. This program was written and produced by News Director David Dexter for KCPR Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.